Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are in the second of three sermons on stewardship. It is called The Joy of Generosity. And last week we talked about the joy of receiving God's blessings, remembering that everything that we have comes from God. And by everything, I mean everything. Material blessings. So all that we have, our house, our car, our job, our ability to work, our clothes, our health, our children, our family, spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, new life, salvation, being a part of God's family. We talked a lot about the difference between happiness, which is a blessing to be sure, but is fleeting. It comes and goes, and it's based on the outward things that we receive. So we're happy for a while when we receive something, but it goes away unless we get something to replace it. But joy, on the other hand, is something that continues to last. It is internal. It isn't always as evident in our lives, but it is here and it is eternal. And the greatest joy of all is the relationship that lasts forever with our Lord. And we need to remember that this joy doesn't just come when we get to heaven, but it's here now, and it's been with us since our baptism. So that's receiving God's blessing, the joy of receiving these blessings. And then, as we heard Laura talk to the children about, the next step is managing all that we have. What are we going to do with all this? And so we have this wonderful parable from Matthew chapter 25 that really instructs us how to manage God's blessings. Now, if you take a look at your notes, usually when we come to our stewardship time of the year in November and we have a pledge, which the letters went out this week, you'll be getting those in the mail if you haven't, it brings to mind these three T's, right? You can put them in your notes: time, talents, and treasure. And so, I preached many sermons on how to manage your time better. And wouldn't that be great? I mean, we all have struggles with that. I know that I do. Would be great if we could manage all the time that we have better. It would be even better yet if we had more time. I'd like that. But I'd probably just do the same old things I do now. And wouldn't it be great to manage our talents better, all of our gifts, our skills? So, as we read in the parable, that they would be doubled or they would increase. And when it comes to treasure, which we usually think of our money, it would be nice to have those sermons again that instruct us. You know, how much can we in good conscience keep for ourselves? You know, I'm going to be really curious next week to see what these kids do with their dollar. It's going to be really interesting. Now, we know that with the dollars that we have to use some for ourselves. You can't get by in this life without money. It just doesn't work. You have to use some for yourself. And we have instructions in Scripture on how much we can use, how much we should give back to God, and how much we should share. So we could talk about all of that, but we're not going to. You've heard plenty of those kinds of sermons. So we're going to hopefully get you to look at things a little differently this year. So this sermon is all about two things and two things only, really. One is your heart, and the other is other people. If you look at your notes, when it comes to joy and management, joy only comes when our hearts are dedicated to furthering God's kingdom and the benefit of others. That's where joy comes from. We're happy when we get things for ourselves, and happiness is a good thing. But joy, which is far greater, so much better, only comes when we focus on God and others. So there is an unfailing promise here, which is in this parable. And it is a universal promise. If you use the things entrusted to us for God's purposes, we will be blessed here and in heaven. Let me read that again, and we're a little behind there on our notes there in the back. There we go. One more. If we use the things entrusted to us for God's purposes, we will be blessed. Now, this is not the TV evangelist idea of blessing. They say, give to our ministry and you will be blessed and receive more money. And you know what? Sometimes it does happen. But that's not the greatest blessing. If you use all that you have for God's purposes, you will be blessed, sometimes materially, but always spiritually. You will always receive joy. Now, as we take a look here at our parable, we don't always understand the full implications. If you want to put up the next note, we don't always understand the full implications. Now, let's go through the parable. There is a master. So we're going to do a little Bible lesson here today. Who is the master in the parable? Anybody? Who do you think that is? It's God. Right. Parables always have a spiritual meaning. Earthly story, spiritual meaning. The master is God, and more specifically, it is Jesus. It's the Son of God. He's the master. He's going to go away for a long time. And in reality, what happens? Shortly after this, Jesus dies on the cross. Then he rises from the grave, and he ascends into heaven. And that was about 2,000 years ago. He says, the master is going to be gone for a long time. Anybody think 2,000 years is a long time? Yes. He's gone physically from the earth for a long time. And he says to his servants, who are the servants? We are. All believers, all disciples, we are servants. And he says, hey, some of you are 5-talent servants. Raise your hand if you think you're a 5-talent servant. Anybody? Come on, there you go. Only the kids? We have no 5-talent servants? Lots of you are 5-talent servants. You've been blessed with much. And then there are 2-talent servants. Do you think there's any 4-talent servants? You bet. You know, you've only got so much room in the Bible here. We can't go through every scenario. So there's 4, there's 3, there's 2, there's 1. So, a lot of us don't understand the full implications because we often think that the parable is about what we do. Well, let's take a look at that. The first guy, he has 5 talents. It says that he invests this, he trades this, whatever he does, he gets 5 more. And what does the master say when he returns to the 5-talent servant? Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. The parable is all about the faithfulness of the servants, not so much about how many talents they received or how many it produced. Because the one who had 2, what does the master say to him? Exactly the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have managed a little. And what is the little, do you suppose? It's what we do here on earth, isn't it? Because when the Lord returns, what day is that? It's the last day. And for you, that could either be when Jesus returns for all of us, or when he returns for you personally. And there will be a personal day. That will be the day when you are here in front of the congregation and you are in your casket or your urn. That's your day of the Lord. And so, when the Lord returns, he's going to look at every servant and he's going to say, well done. Not so much for what you do, but for your attitude. And that's really the point of the parable. If you want to fill in the blanks, go ahead and put those in there. We tend to focus on the wrong object. It's not so much about what we do, but it's all about our attitude. So this parable is really about our heart. That's what it's about. It's about faith and faithfulness. Now, in the notes that I handed out, I use the old NIV translation. The one that we used in our reading today is so much better because it says, come and enter your master's joy. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is ongoing and eternal. So what is the Master's joy? Anybody? It's eternal life. And we know, as good Lutherans, and just having celebrated the Reformation not too long ago, there is one thing that saves. It's not our works. It's not turning the 5 talents into 10. What is it? It's faith, and faith alone that saves. This is all about our heart and our attitude in this life. So turn your notes over. Let's take a look at the second part, and hopefully develop a new attitude about all of our blessings and how we manage it. So, Jesus entrusts portions of his kingdom. Now, he's given us all of these material things. A talent in the time of this parable is literally millions of dollars. So we're talking a lot of gold here. 5, 2, 1 makes no difference. It's millions or tens of millions of dollars. But the greatest treasure is not the material things, but the gospel. So the gospel is the great treasure that Jesus entrusts to all of us. Matthew 28:19, this very familiar passage, Jesus told his disciples, including us, this is your purpose on life. It's not to take your earthly talents and develop more. It's not to take your earthly gold and develop more. But it's to use all things for God's purposes, and especially go and make disciples. That's why we're here. To make more disciples, and in so doing, God is glorified. Now, some of the servants have been faithful, and they have borne fruit. The 5-talent guy produced 5 more. The 2-talent guy produced 2 more. And they get to enter into the joy of the Master. But one servant was unfaithful and had everything taken away. What did he do? Nothing. And that's the problem. He took all of his treasure, which belonged to the Master in the first place. It was never his. He's a servant. A better translation is he's a slave. And we think, well, this isn't fair at all. This poor slave. He buries it, and he's punished. He goes to this outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Anybody know where the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth is? That's that hell word, right? That's the other place. Not the up place, the down place. It literally is. It's hell. And we think, well, that's not fair. He didn't lose. He didn't squander it like the prodigal son. He kept it safe. Well, again, it's not about what we do. It's all about our heart. The other servants loved the Master, and they understood. It all belongs to him. And I get to use it and enjoy it for this entire time that I'm here on earth. You get to enjoy God's blessings this entire time. None of it was yours. It was all given to you. But then this one servant, he says, no. I'm just going to bury it. I'm not even going to enjoy it. I'm not going to share it. I'm not going to invest it. I'm just going to bury it because I know that the Master, he reaps where he doesn't sow. He gets a harvest where he doesn't plant seeds. And this is exactly what happens to him. His heart is not right. He has no faith in the Master. He doesn't love the Master. He only loves himself. And so his fate is not because of what he hasn't done, but because of his heart and his lack of faith, and he is cast into the outer darkness. The message then is that his 1 talent is given to the one who already has 10. And again, we think, well, that's not fair. But that's how God's economy works. We all are blessed beyond what we deserve. We don't deserve any talents, and yet God gives some 1, 2, some 5, some 10, some more. And for all those who have, God says he will give even more. You know, in this lifetime, both the wicked and the righteous receive God's blessings. And let's see if that's true. We have any farmers in the house today? Any farmers? Not too many. Couple in the back. There we go. How was the corn crop this year, Tom? Real good. It was, wasn't it? Yeah, we got good weather, good rain, timely rain. The corn crop was great. All right. You are a righteous man. I know that. And God blessed you with the rain. Yes, thank you very much. You know, there are some not-so-righteous farmers in McHenry County. Yeah, I don't know who they are, but I know there's some because there are unrighteous people everywhere. There are unbelievers everywhere. Tom, did it only rain on your farm? No, it rained on the neighbors too, didn't it? Yes. God blesses everyone in this lifetime. The wicked don't appreciate what God has given to them, and even that will be taken away. But for all of those who are faithful, those who love the Master, they will receive even more when the Master returns. And in heaven, we will have not only all of those blessings of this earth, but even more. As we wrap this all up, a couple things I want to leave with you this morning. First of all, stewardship is simply a matter of the heart. Remember the Old Testament lesson about Solomon? Solomon was the son of King David, and God told him, ask for anything you want. Now, what would you ask for if you could get anything you would want? Some of you asked for a Cubs victory, and you got it. All right? And that's a good thing. Solomon asked for wisdom because he knew that he was going to have to manage God's blessings in the form of his kingdom, which was the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And God said, because your heart is right, because you love the true king, which is God, I will give you wisdom, a kind and discerning heart, so that you can manage all of these blessings for the good of the kingdom and other people. And oh, by the way, because you didn't ask for anything else, I'm going to make you the richest man in the world. And if you follow my will, I will also increase the length of your days. It's exactly what Jesus said in the gospel last week. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things, the things we usually think are the most important, all the material things, guess what? God says, I will give you those also. Now here's our problem. And it began in the Garden of Eden. Stewardship is a matter of the heart. Sin turned our hearts inward. And it's an ongoing struggle. Everyone struggles with this. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they truly loved the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind. And they loved others, including their spouse, more than themselves. They lived their lives simply for the kingdom and for others. And then sin came into the picture. And it's been this way ever since. Every day is a struggle. Sin turns our heart inward and makes us selfish. And we can't shake it. It's impossible. It is. You know how hard it is. Unless the Spirit is in our heart, which he is in yours. And so the Spirit then turns our heart outward toward God and others. You know this passage that I read before? Jesus is quoting this from the book of Deuteronomy. And we know it is the summary of the law. It's the summary of the Ten Commandments. The first three, love God. The other seven, love your neighbor, right? Love others. Well, let's look at this in a new fashion. It is certainly the law. It is a summary of all that God intends for us to do. But let's not look at it so much as a command, but let's look at this as what God wants for us. And as we follow this, that is where the true joy of living comes about. Loving God and loving others. And finally, this is how God's economy works. The more we are focused on God, the more that you are in God's house, the more that you come to the Lord's table, the more that you study the Lord's word, the more that you are with the Lord's people, the more time you spend in prayer, the more God will focus you on other people. And the more that you focus on other people, the more you will understand the joy of managing God's blessings. All of us will fail in this. And the good news is that God continuously forgives our failure. And through His Holy Spirit, He molds our will more closely to His. As we focus on Him, we can focus on others, and we will have greater joy in our life. It's my prayer for each one of you that not only on the very last day when the Lord returns and He looks at you and He looks at all the talents and the blessings that He gave to you, and He will say, not because of what you have done, but because of the attitude of your heart, that you have faith in your Lord Jesus Christ, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I put you in charge of a little while you were here on earth, and you got to enjoy all of these blessings while you were here. Now when you get to heaven, I'm going to put you in charge of even more, and you're going to enjoy all of God's kingdom." Well, it's my prayer for you that you don't just wait till that last day, but because you put God and others first in the management of all of your blessings, that each day you get to hear those words as well. "Well done, good and faithful servants. Come and enter into the Master's joy." May God grant that for Jesus' sake. Amen.